I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Hello and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno, The Footnotes. Now it's time for our first guest of season five, guys, and it's a biggie. He's won Tonys, he's won Grammys, he's won Emmys, he's won a bloody Pulitzer Prize, for God's sake. This show's getting way too highbrow. It's only the creator and star of Hamilton, Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hello, hello, long-time fan, first time caller.
Have I fluffed you enough there?
Fantastic.
Is that enough for you?
Yes.
Okay, good, great.
Thank you.
This is mega.
This is amazing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for the lovely crisps you've put out and the jammy dodgers.
You've never had a jammy dodger. You still haven't had a jammy
Let's
dodger.
Go.
You've dodged the dodger, okay.
Oh, what do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good. Yeah. You can't put that on the poster.
I'd say
they're the cornerstone would of
this,
British culture.
Would this get made on Great British Bake Off?
I think they have recreated a jammy dodgy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
That's fine now, is it? If it's around on Great British Bake
Basically,
Off,
basically, that's the seal of approval.
It's legit confectionery.
Just for context, we are. It's 10:45 at night. We are in an Airbnb in Cardiff. Lin has come literally straight from set.
Thank you for coming to my hometown of Cardiff, Wales.
Oh, yeah, well. I detected the accent, but
yes,
it's subtle.
We're very musical people.
You've just been in LA, though. You were at the Emmys, right?
I was at the Emmys over the weekend, went straight from the Emmys to the airport, got here last night, and then my next priority was immediately talking to you about your dad's porn.
I'm glad that we can fill that spot.
You've got your life.
Yeah. No, we got it worked out.
Are you not much of a sleeper, though? Do you need much sleep?
No, I do need sleep. That's the secret to the whole thing.
Are you ever in a bad mood?
Yeah, constantly.
Do you get ratty?
But I'm eating a jammy dodger. I'm
eating
fine.
A jammy dodger in a random Airbnb.
On the podcast I listen to. I'm in a very happy mood right now.
Let's talk about pornography.
Please.
Let's just segue into that. You know, you're a bit of a super fan.
Yeah.
And I'm intrigued. Well, just because you've listened to pretty much every episode.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to know how you feel Dad's writing has evolved from book one to book five, because it has changed somewhat, and certainly... Belinda's gone in different directions than we maybe initially would have thought. Thoughts as a
but she still blinks. She's still the blinking Belinda we know and love.
Absolutely.
It is maybe the only writing I've ever... Like, I can never predict the next sentence of whatever your father is going to write.
Thank you.
I can never see it coming.
No.
I didn't mean to say coming.
Oh, God. It started.
But... Who would have predicted the blue
semen? Yes.
Semen.
Quite.
I mean, that's the most wild thing I've ever heard.
And honestly. Yet it's only sort of like the 11th most wild thing that has ever been written in a Rocky Flintstone book. So
I think the thing that has surprised me most is how often he keeps bringing back characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not think that was in his wheelhouse when this thing started. I mean, in the first... chapter of this book, we don't even understand what's going on or who's
in the room.
Right, yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah.
And now he's bringing back, you know, the brother who's in the army, and you're like, oh my, this is a fucking Tolstoy novel. You know, well, listen, I write musicals, and the importance of a reprise, that is one of the most important tools in our arsenal to bring back a reprise.
Use
and your father,
sparingly.
As mad as it is, keeps bringing back these reprises and these characters in these really unexpected ways.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you to get to do your great arsenal of voices.
Yeah, they are weapons.
They are. They really are.
Yeah. We were mourning Bella, but
yeah, well, she
came back.
She's
The world was not mourning Bella.
The world was like, oh my God, the voice is gone. Yeah, there were parties in the streets. And then, nope, she woke up with her McMassive meal and is still with us. But, you know, I like doing that voice.
Are you pro or anti-Bella? What's your stance?
Oh, I'm pro-Bella.
Oh, I'm pro-Bella. Yes. Thank you, Lynn.
Lynn, it's been a pleasure. Did you have a jacket or any bags with you?
What do you think of this kind of spy novel it's become? Do you care about the plot now?
I mean, I prefer it over the sales manual that it sometimes became. I do love when like leadership seminar practices sort of creep their way into the text.
They're still getting in there.
Yeah,
subtly.
But then she gets like so fatalistic all of a sudden too. Yeah. She'll be like, well, the world's fucked, so you might as well fuck it. Or like she says where you're like, whoa. Belinda.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so dark in there.
The pendulum swings, doesn't it? It's very much one way or the other.
I mean, that's why the pro Bella fans like Bella. Like it or not, she's like...
She's up.
She's up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she is. She's an optimist. Yeah. She's almost like a Disney character. She's so cheery.
She's a cockeyed optimist.
She really is.
But no, honestly, the way the prose is so surprising every week, and the way your father will take a turn of phrase and just change it a little so that it makes no fucking sense is really thrilling.
I think it's a skill.
Yeah.
I'm going to defend him for a second and be like, Dad, you got it going.
I mean, the heaven sequence is just... Can we talk about the heaven sequence?
But why did you kill my friend Dick Van Dyke?
You know him and Mary Poppins.
You know that guy. He's 93 and he's more alive than any of us.
He was always dancing on a desk, wasn't he?
He was just in Mary Poppins Returns. He's more alive than I'll ever be.
I know, and
he was waiting alone at a bus stop. I mean, it wasn't that he was dead. It was that, like, he was in heaven alone.
I know. Everyone else is like just chatting.
Remind me of some of the other combinations, because it was like really mad.
We had a bassoon teacher, grade 3 bracket.
Yeah, this is Hillsbird
with Nelson Mandela.
Freddie Mercury was with Anne Boleyn.
They were dancing, weren't they? Yeah,
they were the Charleston,
Charleston shuffleback.
It was just all the pairs that you expect, really.
It was the most unexpected pairs. You know, there's a great Tupac verse called Thug's Mansion where he raps about like Sam Cooke and Marvin Gaye, and like they make sense. It's a beautiful sort of nod to the incredible history of African Americans and the arts and what they'd be doing in heaven. This was like the opposite of that verse.
Yeah.
This was like the most random Mad Libs of characters and one living person.
You see, the mistake you've made there is you've almost compared Rocky to Tupac, and that is going to be on his email signature, I'm afraid.
We're on a ride, guys.
Yeah, we are.
We ask everybody that has a kind of an acting pedigree to say who would be the role that would really be great to get their teeth into.
That was a grimace for people.
An eye roll and a grimace at the same time.
Yeah.
Is there somebody that you think, do you know what, they'd be a real challenge and kind of Oscar bait or...
Well, I mean, the Oscar bait is obviously the Duchess.
Yeah, I agree, actually. That has got Best Supporting Actress written all over.
That is,
yeah.
I mean, any of the great dames from your country would play that for all of the pathos and that it's worth, this woman of means, this...
Well, I think we've got Dame M for that. Dame
Emma Thompson.
Yeah,
she's
in.
That, yeah.
God, that would be... And those sex scenes in particular are really tough. They're tough.
When she just left her on the gravel and just drove away from her, I was like, what are you doing to this poor woman?
I'd quite like to see you taking on someone really evil, like a bish.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, yeah. That'd be against type.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's the other Oscar role, I think, because all the prosthetics,
the withered,
get really
look.
Into that character.
Yeah, that's the like very colourful supporting character that gets up for the nom. Yeah.
And his voice is very difficult. You know, my voice...
It seems like it is.
Because my face physically changes.
Let's see a bit. Come on.
Oh, really?
Oh, it's disgusting to watch. Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm here for the ride.
Hello, my special Vaughn.
Peter Lorre is sitting across the table from me.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is here.
In a way, whatever role you want, Jamie could be your voice coach.
I appreciate that.
Or just your voice. Just dub it.
That's
fine.
Fantastic.
Just move your mouth. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Like Arnold in his early movies, his early American films.
No, did you really?
Yeah, Hercules in New York. That's not his voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
And they do that with singing in films a lot. Like Sister Mary Roberts in Sister Act. It's not her voice. The ginger one.
Sister Mary fake.
Seriously?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my favorite line in Sister Act. Sister Mary fake.
Boo.
But you know what? I'm not opposed to that.
Okay, great.
I would rather a great dubbed performance than like an auto-tuned, like we know that a computer made this.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know,
this is so cheeky because you're like off duty and, you know, this is basically asking for free consultation advice. But we've talked a lot about the musical and it'd be remiss having the king of the musical here and not asking. Does Belinda Blink the musical have legs?
It has legs, it has a cervix, it has arms. I mean, the log line's very simple, right? In the New York Times ad, it's, you know, one woman sleeps and sings her way to the top of the pots and pans industry.
Great.
Right? Okay, like, great. I'm in. Like, I want to see that musical, like, done.
Yes.
It depends on the story. I mean, I don't even know. Just thinking of so many random people just had sex with. It's like, what do you focus on? What strand do you...
There's too many.
Yeah, I mean, this could be fucking Nicholas Nickleby if we're not careful. It'll be 8 hours long.
We do a Harry Potter, do it over two nights, maybe three nights, maybe four nights. Yeah. A week at the theater.
Belinda and the Cursed Child. I mean, there's something pure about the storytelling of we are in the room. Yeah. I don't know with who. Belinda's interviewing for the job. That is scene one.
Yes.
Scene one, song one. She'll do whatever it takes. I mean, that's almost the name of the first fucking song.
Whatever it takes.
And that's the I Want song, sets her story out.
Unless, I mean, usually in an opening number, you want to set the world. So we set the pots and pans industry? It's a world of secrets. It's a world of pots and pans.
Sex, you know, lies and Teflon bases? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, and then she would sort of come in and she would have one of those dramatic entrances where her back is to the audience first. And then she kind of turns to them and then we get the entrance applause. And who's the musical theater actress who plays Belinda? I'll go to jail for even suggesting anyone.
I actually have one. Laura Benanti, I think, would be a good
one. Oh, she's so good. She's good.
She's not
really funny, too.
Yes.
Yeah, she could have that, like, Alexander Hamilton moment. Just says her name.
Right, and pots and pans and pots and pans, and then the crowd parts. And there's Belinda. And it's like, clink!
A blink.
Oh, the blink.
I mean, what's the musical motif of the blink? We'll figure... These are the problems I deal with. We'll figure it out. You know, what's the... That's the Surratt. Dot motif.
Yes, in Sunday.
So what is the blinking motif?
Okay.
Right.
What do you mean by that? What noise? Like,
yeah, like what is the musical theme that accompanies a blink of surprise of the world is about to change?
But there's also so many good visual things about it.
The tombola is a huge
The tombola, oh my God, that's a huge, that's like everyone on stage, right?
That's the act one closer.
That's big.
And then the Duchess picks her, and then that's the end of Act One.
Oh, very good.
Meet the Duchess end of Act One. I love it. The wizard will see you now.
Yeah,
that's great.
Plus, we don't need too many sets, because most of it's in the maze in Book One, right? So we just need a big bush.
Oh, my God, the maze. I forgot all about the maze. So much has happened.
So much.
Well, it feels like we're talking about Book One then. I mean, we're not. We can't fit it all in. There's just no way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is a paid advertisement from BetterHelp Online Therapy.
Now, we don't always realise just how much our negative thoughts and experiences stick with us and weigh us down. You might find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings, that frustrating thing your mum does, or that silly thing you said in a meeting.
Maybe it's time to get all of this off your chest. And I'm sorry about what I said last week, James. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. And that's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it, so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to match with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mydad today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mydad.
What is your... So obviously Rocky writes in the garden shed, in the pavilion, and or in heat. He likes to write in Brazil a lot because that gets his juices flowing, so to speak.
Oh, don't say juices.
Sorry. what's your like writing process? It seems to me like you write wherever you've got time, wherever you are.
Yeah, I try really not to be precious about where I write because I think that I'm someone who could get very superstitious very quickly. And I don't want to be like, oh, if I don't have my perfect pencil special and the perfect foil. Slant of... Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I wrote the last quarter of Hamilton in my in-law's laundry room because we were renovating an apartment and it wasn't ready yet. So we had to move in with my in-laws. And so I was literally writing over a laundry machine.
And you don't want that to become your process. Like, I have to be in their laundry room.
I gotta be back in the... Get me back in the laundry room. It's suffered since. So no, I write... Often what I'll do is I'll write at the piano until I have just enough music to record. And then I'll put it on a loop and then I'll walk around because I get my best lyrics when I'm walking or I'm running or I have to kind of be ambulatory.
So if you're running, how do you record that thought?
I stop.
And voice, and kind of voice note it.
Yeah, I'll voice note it, or I'll have like a Moleskine in my back pocket and I'll sort of write down whatever.
Do you have voice notes on your phone right now?
Yeah.
What you got?
I don't know.
Let's see.
Sorry. Oh, God, careful. We nearly killed Lin-Manuel Miranda. He just tripped on a wire.
Oh, no.
I'm terrified of what is going to come out of here. This was
someone doing some washing up.
I literally woke up having dreamt some fictional Garfield song that never existed, and I wanted to get it down before I like fully woke up.
That's
and
amazing.
That was all I had.
All together now.
So this is like morning breath. And I am getting breakfast. Oh, no, that's my son. That's my son playing that shit in the background.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, that was like in my head when I woke up and I was like, I gotta get it on my voice notes.
So is it sometimes a melody and sometimes lyrics?
Yeah.
So you would sometimes
I'll take it however it comes.
So that's... We need to get Rocky moving and maybe better stuff will come out if he just walks. Just anything.
Well, he's renovating my house, so we can do that.
But I love that he has a shed where
I know, it's cute. You know. Well, that's mainly because Mum won't let him write in the house. But yeah,
what he's writing, I don't blame her.
No, he's very excited about you coming on the show, actually.
Really?
He knows the Hamilton music through me playing it to him. So yeah, he's a fan of yours, which is nice.
That's amazing. I'm mutually very honored.
Well, you're not really, but...
I am. I truly am.
I think he's quite excited about writing a musical, but he's trying to do it with already existing songs, like a kind of a jukebox thing, but just changing.
He wants
the
to
lyrics.
Do a Belinda musical with existing songs.
Yeah.
That's quite
Are you
clever, actually.
Fucking kidding me?
Seriously.
Has he pitched any of the songs he has in mind?
Shall I see if I've got an email?
What? Of course.
Hang on. Bear
Lynn,
with,
be careful what you ask
Listen,
for.
Listen, he had me at Rizzoli and Isles. I am so in for whatever Rocky
said. Said no one ever.
You know, the lady from Rizzoli.
Okay, I swear to God, he once sent me his thoughts on what the songs could be.
Is it a particular artist? Is this like the Donna Summer musical?
It's slapdash. It's everyone. It's,
While you find it, can I just listen to Lynn's voice notes? I just want to delve back into that.
I can't believe I played you that. I might use that someday. And you'll have heard it first on the footnotes.
She's like, heard this on Radio 2 this morning on the Graham Norton show where he interviews the producers of the new musical Chess. Not a new musical.
Musical, a chorus line.
Well worth a listen, if only for the references to Broadway.
But this is the stuff we get on it from him on a daily basis. He's just constantly, it's like you, it's just ideas all the time.
Sparking. We can't move at the same speed.
Oh my God, I think I found it.
Oh God.
Yes.
The Rocky Flintstone, Belinda Blinked, jukebox musical.
So song one that he wants is called She Was an Upmarket Girl to the music of I'm an Uptown Girl by Billy Joel.
Right.
Again,
okay.
Not the title of the song.
Upmarket Girl.
He's added a syllable, but that's
She's
fine.
Been living in a pots and pans world. Yeah, got it.
Great. The next song he wants is I'm Sorry For You. Don't know what that's in reference to.
Self-pen, that's about him.
And the next one's called It's the Day After Friday.
I don't know that song.
No, these are songs.
Oh, these are just titles.
Writing.
It's the day after Friday.
You don't know it yet.
Yeah, because I haven't written it yet.
The next one is Where Is the Sex, to the music of Where Is the Love?
Where is the sex?
By Black Eyed Peas.
Black Eyed Peas?
People shagging people.
People shagging, people fucking.
The next one is Let Your Tits and Clit Do the Talking, to the music of These Boots Are Made for Walking. That's
too many syllables by so much. That's like, drawing outside the crossword puzzle by like six letters.
How do you even fit that in?
One of these days, these tits and clits are going to walk over you.
Then we've got A Yankee from the US of A to the music of YMCA.
Again, that's like 20 more syllables than the four required for YMCA.
I say A Yankee
so dumb.
From the US of A. Yes, I mean,
well, I mean, for the verse, sure.
You know, yeah, we'll be kind.
Are we allowed to change the words?
Sure.
We'll soon find out.
Wait, read it again. What was it? A Yankee.
A Yankee from the US of A to the music of YMCA.
A Yankee from the US of A. Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he's a little U-turn, hasn't he, old LMM?
Yeah, no, you can make it work.
Don't you be disbelieving.
I'm seeing it at baseball games every seventh inning stretch. I can see the future for
it. We've already got the choreography for that one as well. Yeah. Like the S might be a bit difficult, but...
Yeah. S.
So we've got The Tombola Went Round and Round to the music. To the music.
Can we guess the music?
Yeah, okay, guess.
Wheels on the Bus.
The Wheels on the Bus!
Oh my God, they'll never see this musical coming. We've got Just 69 Pages to Heaven.
Oh wait, Just a Step from Heaven.
Steps to Heaven.
What steps to heaven?
Not a thing.
And it's got In the Foyer of the Cheap Hotel, and that's just in a ballad style. So we can make that our own.
Right, okay.
I remember you've got quite a lot of creative freedom there.
I'm getting a very strong Evita, Another Suitcase, Another Hall vibe from that.
Oh, right.
In the foyer of a cheap hotel.
Yes. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
I like it.
So it's a mix of original and jukebox. Has that been done? That's new.
That feels fresh and messy. And,
yeah. If we can extend it over the five musicals we have
that
planned.
That feels expensive and jarring.
And then the last one he wants to do is You've Come Back to Release Me, similar to Please Release Me by Tom. Yeah.
But changing just enough words to make it a pastiche.
Yeah. So I think that he's onto something. Yeah. I think we should all get our heads in a room and come up with like the next, you know, big musical.
The origin story of this musical begins in Cardiff, Wales.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
We'll remember this day.
We'll remember
this
day.
For many years to come.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah.
That was mad.
I mean, he's thinking about these things, though, Lynn.
Any musical that kind of can bring together the Black Eyed Peas and the Wheels on the Bus Go Round and Round has got the kind of tonal diversity that you're looking for in an evening of
that
musical
that will
theater.
Fill every seat in the house with someone completely different. Yeah.
Something my five-year-old sings and Tom Jones.
You got the kids, you got the grandmas.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what you want.
It's a four-quadrant musical, guys.
The audience will have whiplash from the tonal shift.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
I also want to talk to you just briefly about your relationship with your dad.
Sure.
Because I follow your dad on Twitter. No, because he's so cool, and you seem to have a really nice relationship. Because do you work together?
I guess so. Yeah, he's become... Yeah, I work with him a lot, actually. He was my date to the Emmys, actually, over the weekend.
Nice.
It was really lovely. We were sitting next to Michelle Williams and Busy Phillips, and Michelle won that night, and that was amazing. And my dad, you know, I produced Fosse Verdon, but my dad, I don't think, has watched Fosse Verdon. He just loves her because she's in The Greatest Showman.
Yeah, sure.
So my dad's like, I want a picture with Michelle Williams. I was like... She's my friend.
Yeah,
like,
there are
many times that we can get a picture. Yeah. It doesn't have to be right now. She's up for an award, so I'm not going to do that.
She's
now.
She's on stage.
Every 5 seconds. Remember my picture with Michelle Williams. Remember my picture. And then, like, she won, and it was amazing. She gave this incredible speech. And then, like, 5 seconds later, my dad's like, well, I didn't get my picture. I was like, she won!
She's in the press bed.
It's not about your picture. We'll see her later.
You know that he got the picture.
I know he tweeted the picture.
I love
that. All he wanted.
Oh, we got it.
Oh, yeah, he got it. We saw her in the press room.
Was he like, if you're not going to get it for me, I'm going to get it for me?
No. I was with
you
him.
You facilitated.
But it was just like...
Oh, God.
I joke sometimes that my success has gone to my father's head. So I wonder if the success of the podcast has, is he walking around being like, okay, Flintstone.
I mean, yes.
Yes. Safe to say that.
And now he's an executive producer on HBO. He demanded that in the contract. Like, no, no.
How have your siblings reacted to this?
Oh my God, they love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my sisters are great. I mean, we are the most eccentric family in the world, so it wasn't really much of a surprise. But the fact that they've been so supportive of it, you know, it was my sister's wedding the other day.
Right.
Everyone there was just like, oh my God, I get to meet Rocky Flintstone in real life. And it's just like, no, you're at your friend's wedding. That's more important than meeting Rocky Flintstone.
We haven't even talked about the father of the bride speech.
Wait, how was it?
My God. So... it was long. It was like 20 minutes.
You surprised me.
Yeah. It was great. He kind of came in like a big Duchess hat and a really striped and a really striped jacket and just was oozing bonhomie and just being classic dad. And then his speech, he just ad-libbed the whole thing and it was hysterical. Wow. Got his harmonica out, started playing Whiskey in the Jar.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, seriously.
During the speech?
Yes, that was part of his speech.
If in doubt, just break out a song.
Yeah.
Have you got a picture of him in his wedding garb?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is exclusive for your eyes only.
Yeah, great.
Here we all are, the Flintstone family. Can you spot which one might be dying?
There he is in the flesh.
Yeah, that's the man.
Oh. Is he what you expected?
I don't know what I expected. Hold on a second. Let me sit with this for a minute. Well, everyone looks
Lynn,
gorgeous.
Lynn, we have to kill you now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is my
I've
sister.
I've seen Rocky Flintstone. I'll give away the cookware sequence.
Oh my God, he is dressed as the Duchess.
What's weird is he dresses like Dick Van Dyke in his barbershop.
He does!
Is it a professional jealousy that he killed him off?
I think.
Because, you know, Dick Van Dyke still has a barbershop quartet and he, like, sings at functions.
No.
Does he?
Oh, fully.
Oh,
How do we not know that, guys? Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, well, he's available for hire.
I don't know how available for hire is, but he's got a barbershop quartet. He, like, sings for fun.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dad's stealing.
I told you, he's more alive than any of us. That's why I was so upset to find him in heaven in chapter one.
Now, Belinda's a busy woman. You're a busy man. Mm. What have you got going on at the moment? Seems like you've got a million projects all at once.
Really? Well,
yes, you have.
Yes, but it's staggered. I'll finish filming this week for His Dark Materials, and then I'm producing this hip hop improv show that we've been doing for like 15 years. Like, my first time in the UK was actually the Edinburgh Fringe Festival with these guys.
Oh, no,
like,
really?
In 2005. And
the
it's
Freestyle Love Supreme.
Freestyle Love Supreme. And so it's this hip hop show. We make up the entire show on the spot. And so we're doing that on Broadway for 16 weeks. And so we open the week after I get back. So we'll do that through the end of the year. And
are you in that?
Yeah, I'll do it a couple of times a week. We have so many people in the group now. We're like Wu-Tang. So, like, we kind of have to sort of tag in and tag out. But I'm going to do a couple of times a week.
Wicked.
And then I'm directing my first movie. I'm directing a movie musical. At the top of next year, I'm directing this musical version, this movie version of Tick, Tick, Boom.
And you're writing new songs for The Little Mermaid live action, aren't you?
Yeah.
How's that with Alan Menken?
Yeah, I'm writing lyrics for Alan Menken.
How's that going?
It's going really well, actually. Oh, yeah, we finished a first draft of a tune today. Actually.
Really?
Yeah. And basically, anytime I have a break in the filming, I kind of go off into a corner and work on this.
What a day. Dark Materials, Little Mermaid, pornography. That's quite a day for you, Lynn.
Yeah, it's been a day.
And are you writing like a number of, like, have they said we need two songs or is it just kind of however many you...
We've written three new songs so far. We haven't touched any of the songs that exist.
Are they going to be in there?
Yeah. The songs you love are in the movie. And then we've just kind of circled a couple of moments for some new musical moments.
And was Moana the first thing that got you into the Disney kind of...
Yeah, and that was pre-Hamilton. I was up for that job with every other musical theater composer. And I kind of... But it was the directors of Little Mermaid. It was Ron and John who directed the animated Little Mermaid. And so I really lobbied hard for it and got it. And it was really fun. But I was writing that while I was still doing Hamilton. Like, all of my demos of those songs are Pippa and Chris Jackson because they were in the dressing rooms next to me. And I was like, come in here and sing this. So I have, like, Pippa doing Moana before anybody else did. And it also kind of kept me sane during the Hamilton craziness because there was so much buzz and hype around it. And I kind of couldn't go to any parties. And I was doing seven shows a week. And I was like, I have to write a song about this young woman who saves the world. I have to write a song for The Rock.
Did you feel like you could enjoy the whole Hamilton experience?
Oh, yeah.
You did?
Yeah, I feel like I enjoyed it, but I also was able to sort of you know, doing seven shows a week just keeps you humble because you can't go out and you can't party. Like, you're like, oh, I have two shows tomorrow. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was good. And I also had a newborn child.
I was going to say, you had your whole family thing was changing. And
yeah, it was the best way to do it. My feet were very much on the ground the whole time.
Yeah, unlike my dad. he has nothing grounding him.
We have a little special invite for you. Not many people, I mean, people say don't meet their heroes, but we wondered if you wanted to meet your hero, who is Rocky Flintstone, of course, when we come to New York.
Oh my God, yes.
Next year, if you want to come to the show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's going to be there, Radio City Music Hall. He's going to be there.
Yes, I'm there.
It's a date.
I'm in. I'm going to wear the exact same suit he wore to the wedding.
Yes.
I'm going to come in my Rocky Flintstone cosplay. I know what he looks like now.
we actually have a present for you. I think it's behind you, Alice.
Oh.
It's my dad wrote a porno book.
Oh, wonderful. And oh my gosh, the annotated version.
It's signed by Rocky.
Oh my Lanta. Lynn. I'm sorry, this inscription's insane. Lynn, it's an honor to know you're a pervert. Love and pomegranates. Rocky, this is a very flowery signature.
Oh,
isn't
it?
Really, like, this
you
is
see
some,
his flamboyance in that signature. Yeah. It's so big as well. The rest of us are like trying to like fit in the space around him. We're like, okay, Dad, thanks.
Oh my God, I love it. Thank you so much.
Oh no, you're welcome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. We really appreciate
coming all this way. I really appreciate it.
No, this has been mega.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.